All right. Okay. Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
You ready?
Alrighty. Good evening. Welcome to the Minnesota OA How live meeting. My name is Nancy D, and I am a compulsive eater and your leader for this meeting.
Hi, Nancy.
Thank you. This is a meeting conceived to bring an added dimension of realism to our remote OA community. We want to again emphasize to everyone that the link, login, and instructions that you receive to participate on this meeting are not to be published anywhere, but only to be shared with those directly interested. Our goal is to share the power of recovery via meeting that is safe and by its nature, very visual. We want to welcome all those here and virtually. You may reference our webcast guide for detailed instructions and information. If you would like to participate in the meeting, either by video or by phone before the meeting begins, please use the Sign Up Genius link called Volunteer to Participate virtually on our website, mnhowlive.org. On the same website, you will find a link to our meeting readings and tools. If you have not signed up, you may volunteer to take a reading or tool or participate in any other way in the meeting. Meetings live chat, I'm sorry. We do this in advance so that we can keep the meeting flowing smoothly. If you need technical help, there will be a multiple coaching sessions Thursday evenings from 5:30 to 9 p.m. Central Time on this same meeting. If you are unable to make this time, please send a note to mnhowlive@gmail.com. The audio portion of this meeting is being recorded. Please visit our website at mnhowlive.org to download the recordings in MP3 format. We ask that if you need to eat during the meeting, please eat quietly in the back of the room. Please take a moment to silence or turn off your cell phones. To open the meeting, let us have a moment of quiet meditation and for those who wish to join us in saying the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. I'm sure that I'm not alone this evening, but for the record, are there any other compulsive eaters at this meeting other than myself?
Yes.
Okay, okay.
Yep, you're not alone.
Okay. The We Care folder will be circulated in the room for the duration of the meeting. The first time for you to list your name, telephone number, and email, and the rest for you to take numbers and phone numbers to call during the week. If you are joining us remotely, please use the meeting chat and enter your first name, phone number, times available for phone calls, and whether or not you are currently a sponsor in the HOW format. We will then add you to the We Care book that is being circulated for in the room. A copy of this list can be sent to you after the meeting via text or email. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and mutual support, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. Would someone please read What Is How?
Hi, I'm Heidi, a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Heidi. Welcome.
Thank you. HOW is a movement within Overeaters Anonymous whose basic principle is that abstinence is the only means to freedom from compulsive eating and the beginning of a spiritual life. Where and why did HOW begin? HOW began in Phoenix in 1981 as a means of reviving a group called OA Victorious. Its meeting format is taken from Roseanne's book, I Put My Hand in Yours, and centers around the concept of service. Many of the questions used in house sponsoring stem from OA Plus and Westminster groups. The outline of service came from the OA Suffolk County, New York Sponsors Guide. Thank you.
Thank you, Heidi. Would someone please read the only requirement?
Hello, this is Michelle. Michelle C, compulsive overeater and food addict.
Hello, Michelle.
Hi, Nancy.
Welcome.
The only requirement, Overeaters Anonymous, respects the autonomy of each OA group. We do suggest, however, that any group that has requirements in addition to the suggested 12 steps and 12 traditions, inform its members that these requirements are what that particular group has found to be effective in working the program and do not represent OA as a whole. The members of this group have found the how concept to be effective in working the OA program. The opinions expressed here this afternoon by those who share are their own and not necessarily those of OA. The Board of Trustees states, we understand the third tradition to mean that individual ways of working one's program should not exclude any compulsive overeater from attendance and participation in the OA meetings anytime, anywhere. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Anyone who says he or she is a member is a member. We of Overeaters Anonymous welcome all with open arms. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle. Would someone please read the how concept?
Hi, I'm Sharon, out of options, recovered compulsive overeater.
Hello, Sharon.
The how concept. The Overeaters Anonymous how meetings have been formed to offer the compulsive overeater who accepts the 12 steps and 12 traditions as a program of recovery, a disciplined and structured approach. How groups are formed in the belief that our disease is absolute and that the only absolute acceptance of the OA program will offer any sustained abstinence to those whose compulsion has reached a critical level. Therefore, we accept the 9 tools of the program and the 12 steps and 12 traditions as necessary for our recovery. Our meetings are dedicated to the concept of remaining honest, open-minded, and willing to listen. This is the how of the program. We pray that the collective group conscience and love that these ideals offer us will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with all those around us, and that the how ideals will help us to progress in our program of recovery on a daily basis. To be certain, much of our strength is found in the structure of meetings and in the daily adherence as it is written in our literature. The evening meeting also firmly understands that our recovery has begun through abstinence and the taking of the first 3 steps. Our further surrender to the additional steps of recovery offers us a promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our lives. We ensure our continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive overeating by being forever aware that God is doing for us what we have never been able to do for ourselves. May God, as each of us understands him, open our minds and our hearts in the love which is manifested in this room. Amen.
Thank you, Sharon.
Thanks, Sharon.
Would someone please read reflections for the newcomer?
Hi, yes, this is Emily S. I'm a grateful recovering food addict from Florida.
Hello, Emily. Welcome.
Thank you. Reflections for the newcomer. Welcome to OA How. We are all so glad that you have decided to become a part of our fellowship. You know that the How concept is a disciplined program. We believe that the discipline of weighing and measuring, of telephoning your sponsor at a particular time, of attending meetings and making phone calls, all lead to a life based on the universal discipline, which is accord rather than discord, even with many things going on around us. Therefore, if there is a breakdown in any of these areas, the concept is threatened, as is the individual's abstinence. We have found that the discipline must remain as constant for the beginner as for the sponsor. If the newcomer shies away from this life's responsibility, the sponsor may give the newcomer's time slot to someone more committed to recovery. This is not a personal affront, but a matter of necessity. So many who think they should recover, in fact, are not ready. If the newcomer should show lack of commitment, the sponsor may then offer the newcomer assistance in finding a new sponsor. The rationale here is, if the newcomer insists on picking up the food before the phone, then there is a breakdown in the level of communication between the sponsor and the newcomer. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. From the Doctor's Opinion, Big Book, page 26, paragraph 2. If a sponsor slips, get a new one. The pitfalls of self-deception cannot be overstressed if you are to recover. Therefore, a sponsor, in all self-honesty, must release all sponsees to continue his own recovery. A sponsor cannot give what he does not experience. Finally, you must believe that we need each other. All problems that arise can be worked on via the phone or person-to-person contact. Only positive, upbeat recovery belongs at our meetings. A body badly burned by alcohol does not often recover overnight, nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode of living is a most powerful restorative. From the Family Afterward, Big Book, page 133, paragraph 2. Good luck. Everyone in the fellowship is praying that you find the release from the obsession so many of us have. God bless, and no matter what, keep coming back. We'll always be here for you. Thank you, Pass.
Thank you, Emily. Would someone please read an excerpt from Step 2 of the OA 12 and 12?
Go ahead, Janelle.
Sorry about that. My name is Janelle. This is the third meeting that I've attended. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Welcome, Janelle. Thank you.
When we look with complete honesty at our lives, we see that where eating is concerned, we have acted in an extremely irrational and self-destructive manner. Under the compulsion to overeat, many of us have done things no sane person would think of doing. We have driven miles in the dead of night to satisfy a craving for food. We have eaten food that was frozen, burnt, stale, or even dangerously spoiled. We have eaten food off of other people's plates, off the floor, off the ground. We have dug food out of the garbage and eaten it. We frequently lied about what we have eaten, lied to others because we didn't want to face the truth ourselves. We have stolen food from our friends, family, and employers, as well as from the grocery store. We have also stolen money to buy food. We have eaten beyond the point of being full, beyond the point of being sick of eating. We have continued to overeat, knowing all the while we were disfiguring and maiming our bodies. We have isolated ourselves to eat, damaging our relationships and denying ourselves a full social life. For the sake of our compulsive eating, we have turned ourselves into objects of ridicule and we have destroyed our health. Then, horrified by what we were doing to ourselves with food, we became obsessed with diets. We spent hundreds of dollars on weight loss schemes. We bought all sorts of appetite control drugs. We joined diet clubs and spas. We had ourselves hypnotized and analyzed. We had major surgery on our digestive systems. We had our ears stapled or our jaws wired shut. All of this we did willingly, hoping we could someday have our cake and eat it too. Some of us went from doctor to doctor looking for a cure. The doctors gave us diets, but we had no better success with those than with the other diets we'd been on. Doctors gave us shots and pills. Those worked for a while, but we inevitably lost control and overate again, putting back on the weight we had worked so hard to lose. Many of us tried fasting with and without a doctor's supervision. Usually we lost weight, but as soon as we started eating again, the compulsive eating behavior returned along with the weight. Some of us learned to purge ourselves with vomiting, laxatives, or excessive exercise. We'd stuff food in our mouths until we were in physical pain, then we'd get rid of it. We damaged our digestive systems and our teeth while we starved our bodies of nutrients needed to live. Those of us who were overweight got plenty of advice from others about how to get to our ideal size, but nothing permanently solved their problem. We found that no matter what we did to ease our turmoil, our compulsive eating eventually returned. Over the long haul, our weight went up and our self-esteem went down. After a long while, we became battle-weary and discouraged. Still, we could never accept our powerlessness. The prospect of being obese, sick, and out of control for the rest of our lives led some of us to conclude that life was simply not worthy of living. Many of us thought about suicide. Some of us tried it. Most of us, however, never reached suicidal desperation. Instead, we took comfort in a feeling that everything was all right as long as we got enough to eat. The only trouble was that as our compulsive eating progressed, it became harder for us to get through. Instead of bringing comfort, the overeating backfired. The more we ate, the more we suffered. Yet we continued to overeat. Our true insanity could be seen in the fact that we kept right on trying to find comfort in excess food long after it began to cause us misery. Thank you.
Thank you, Janelle. Would someone please read from chapter 5 of the book, Alcoholics Anonymous, how it works?
Hi, everyone. This is Liz A. in Florida, grateful compulsive overeater and food addict.
Hello, Liz. Welcome.
Thanks. How it works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these, we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Thank you. I pass.
Would someone please read the 12 steps of recovery?
Hello there. This is Michelle C. again, compulsive overeater and food addict.
Hello, Michelle.
The 12 steps. Hi, everyone. Step one, we admitted we were powerless.
Speak up a little bit, Michelle.
Oh, my volume?
Yep.
All right. We admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. And four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. 8, make a list of all the persons we have harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made a direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for a knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order, I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is, we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. From the Big Book, chapter 5, page 60. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Michelle. Would someone please read the 12 traditions of the program?
Hi, this is Lisa J. I think I'm there. Okay, yes, I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hello, Lisa. 12
traditions.
Welcome.
Hi. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks.
Thank you, Lisa. The tools of recovery. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous are a program of recovery. Webster's Dictionary defines tool as any person or thing used to get something done. We have many tools of the program which will help us to recover on a daily basis. Tools are essential to get the job done, and they work for us. In order for a tool to work, it must be used. Yeah. So, 2, with our tools of recovery, I will ask that HOW sponsors explain how they use a particular tool with a limit of 3 minutes. For each tool, would someone be willing to be the timekeeper?
Thank you, Sharon.
Virtual participants receive timing prompts via chat. Abstinence plan of eating.
I
plan of eating. A food plan is a commitment to recovery. The HOW disciplines are designed for food-addicted people. We believe in a disciplined and structured approach. HOW abstainers do not modify their food plan to suit themselves and commit themselves to black and white return of many other problems. A food plan is not a personal thing in HOW. This means that we depend upon each other for the strength and growth that we need to remain abstinent. We join together in an effort to free the compulsive overeater from the bondage of food through the use of a food plan, positive thinking, and the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. We eat weighed and measured meals with nothing in between except sugar-free beverages and sugar-free gum. Food is written down, called into our sponsor, and committed so that we can go on with our recovery and out of the food. We also believe that negative thinking is a large part of our disease, so we abstain from negative thinking. Those of us who work the HOW program can food plans. First, we do not write our own food plan. We use a food plan given to us by a doctor, nutritionist, or dietitian. We discuss it with our sponsor. We do not pick one that allows any binge foods. If some food on our plan becomes a problem, we avoid it. Two, unless approved by a sponsor, we do not skip meals, switch meals, or combine meals. We do not deviate or manipulate our food plan in any way. If we need to change our committed food during the day, we call a sponsor. Three, we weigh and measure all our portions so that there is no guesswork. We use a measuring cup, spoon, and a scale. So, what do I do here? Can you hear me? Okay, so here we have two different types of scales. One is a digital scale, and that's for many people the easiest scale to use. You put your plate on and then you turn it on, and then it'll automatically tear the plate. T-A-R-E means bring it to zero. And so it'll take it to zero. You can put on your food and you want to put it on until it measures just exactly what you have committed. If you committed 3 ounces, it should say 3.0. If you committed 5 ounces, it should say 5.0. It's not under and it's not over. It's exactly what you committed. The nice thing about the electronic or digital scale is that you can push tear, and on some machines it says zero. Here it says tear. It means the same thing. You put your, say for instance, you put your meat on 3 ounces, 3.0, tear. It all goes back to zero. Then you put your starch on. 4.0, exactly. Oops, 4.1, take some off. Oh, now it's 3.9, put a little bit back on. And the only thing that's yours is what's on your plate that you've measured. The fork that you use, the spoon that you use, none of that is yours to lick or to use. And then you can tear it again and put the next thing on. Some of us use measuring spoons for our oils, peanut butter, and those types of things, sour cream. And you put the oil in. The interesting thing about the oil is that you can put more than a tablespoon of oil in this tablespoon because it forms like a what they call a meniscus, which is a kind of a bubble that goes over top of the spoon. So you want to make sure that it's right level. You don't want anything extra, no less, and no more. And then there are measuring cups that we can also use. And people use this for, sometimes they measure their vegetables in here. You want to put your vegetable in. Most of us pack it down. You want to be consistent, level it off. What's in is yours, and what's out is not yours, and what's around the cup is not yours. And if I go by, if I level it off and then it springs back up, that's okay. I don't have to keep throwing things out. I just, if it's level when I push it across, then that's what I do. And that's good for vegetables and starches also. You can use your cup measuring cups for liquids. The liquid measuring cup, 8 ounces liquid is oftentimes different than 8 ounces on the scale. Some scales will measure liquids, has a liquid measurement, but some do not. So you'll need a measuring cup. And with the measuring cup, you put it on a flat surface, either at eye level or you get down to eye level and you look straight at the line with your eyes. And that line, your liquid crosses the line. People use this for milk, broth, and sometimes they have like V8 or tomato juice or something that they're allowed to eat. And then we have a phone in our abstinent kit. This, by the way, is called abstinent kit, and people will keep one in their car, or both of their cars, one in the office, one at a family member's house, so that they always have their tools available to them. It's like a diabetic that needs their insulin syringe and monitoring machines. So this is our kit that we use, and there's no shame in using it. We call in and commit our food, because we only eat what we have committed. If you haven't committed it, don't eat it. If you need to change something, an orange for an apple, then you call. And, I can't get, my sponsor isn't available. You can leave it on your sponsor's phone, or you can call, and then you call two others. And if you don't, then you can go ahead and make those small changes that are just straightforward and easy. If something happened, like the cat jumped up and ate half of your food, you don't know how much was left, then you'll want to talk directly to a sponsor and keep calling until you get someone who can help you with that. At least that's the way I work mine. One thing I didn't talk about was the other option for a scale, which is a spring-loaded scale. And these are portable. They're not sensitive to the weather, so you can have them in your car. In Minnesota, that's real important because it gets so cold that the batteries stop working. Mm-hmm. Or it sometimes, believe it or not, can get so hot that the batteries just explode or do whatever they do. So again, with this, it's very similar to the way we use our measuring cups. You have to be eye level. You can't be looking down at it or looking up at it. So you want to get eye level. There's a zero or zero button. And so you use this button and you make sure that where the zero is, the line is crossing that line straight up and down, splitting it in the middle. You put your food product in there, right up to the line that it's splitting the line. If it's 3 ounces, it's going to split that line directly. You can also use this for grams. I find it a little bit more difficult, but it is possible to do all your measuring with this scale, and it's very inexpensive and a good way to get started. And that's our abstinence kit. And then we weigh ourselves once a month until we reach goal weight, and once a week on maintenance, unless otherwise advised by your doctor. We take a multivitamin and drink 64 ounces of water a day. We do not drink alcohol, 6. And 7, we do not use food containing sugar, except if sugar is listed 5th or beyond on the ingredients label. Above all, we do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string being that counts. It is the decision to take it. So briefly, I'd like to talk about the fear of weighing and measuring. And page 61 of As Bill Sees, and it comes from the Big Book, page 67 and 68, and Grapevine, 1962, from a writing of Bill. He says, fear somehow touched about every aspect of our lives. It was an evil and corroding thread. The fabric of our existence was shot through with it. It set in motion trains of circumstances which brought us misfortune we felt we didn't deserve, but did not we often set the ball rolling ourselves. So that's how I got in this mess. It was my own decisions, my own way of responding, my never allowing my child to grow up. And I feared everything and anybody, circumstances, situations. And when it came to weighing and measuring, I was like, oh gosh, I have to weigh and measure in front of people. And that was a stressful thought to me. Here it says, the problem of resolving fear has two aspects. We shall have to try for all the freedom from fear that is possible for us to attain. Then we shall need to find both the courage and the grace to deal constructively with whatever fears remain. So sometimes we come in and we're like, I can't do this. I'm afraid I'm gonna screw it up, mess it up. I remember calling a sponsor soon after I started, and I was just bawling, just crying. And she said, what's the matter? And I said, I'm afraid that I'm gonna mess this thing up, and I'm not gonna even know I'm messing it up. I'm just gonna make a mistake by accident, and then I'll just screw it all up. And then she laughed, and she says, you know what? We all felt that way. We all were afraid. But what I have found one day at a time, that I can get through any situation. I remember taking my scale to a buffet and in Atlanta soon after I was abstinent. And I took my cups up there and I had my scale and I was getting my food right into the measuring cups. And the chef who was over there slicing up meat, he came over and he says, I need to do that. So it's like the thing I feared the most was the thing that was a testimony for other people. My path.
Thank you, Sharon. Sponsorship.
Hi, my name is Debbie, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Debbie. Welcome.
Sponsorship. Sponsors are OA members who are committed to abstinence and to living the 12 steps and 12 traditions to the best of their ability. We ask a sponsor to guide us through our program of recovery on all three levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. In working with other members of OA and sharing their experience, strength, and hope, sponsors continually renew and reaffirm their own sobriety. Sponsors share their program up to the level of their own experience. Ours is a program of attraction. Find a sponsor who has what you want and ask how it was achieved. A member may work with more than one sponsor and may change sponsors at will. A house sponsor is a compulsive overeater who has completed at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence and who has taken the first three steps of the program. Sponsors have also completed at least 70 days of assignments. Reflections to the sponsor, suggestions for discussion. No list of reflections and meditations are end-alls and be-alls for the newcomer. A sponsor must be attentive not only to what the new person is saying, but also to what the newcomer is not saying. There are many newcomers who are reticent to purchase books and who are hesitant to throw themselves headlong into the program. Therefore, we have a list of pre-commitment assignments. Above all, do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string bean that is the problem. It is the decision to have it that results in some trouble. The how concept is an alternative for people who have tried everything else. Therefore, the program is an immutable triumvirate of tools, steps, and traditions. Using the tools of weighing and measuring our food, sponsors, meetings, phone calls, reading and writing, service, and anonymity, we follow the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of OA in order to free ourselves from the bondage of food addiction. Sponsors do not have the right to play God. We help each other. For me, sponsorship, it's like my own personal therapist, right? I mean, it's somebody who is there for me every single day. I get 15 minutes of time every day at the same time. I call her early in the morning. It's a way to start my day, and it just sets me off on the right foot. I like to bookend my day. So I call my sponsor first thing in the morning, 5:15 a.m., and then I have a sponsee call in the evening, and I've been doing that for a long time because that's a really nice way for me to end my day, and it just kind of keeps me grounded, keeps me centered. I work with a couple different sponsees, and, you know, it's so enlightening for me. It's so good for me to remember and to reach back down the line and help somebody, you know, and share that experience, strength, and hope and help somebody else move along the line. So I really appreciate that part of it. The one thing I did want to say too is in how, you know, it talks about you can work with more than one sponsor and you can change sponsors at will. It's even though you get really, really close to your sponsor, you're not, it's not personal, right? It's that relationship. You can talk to anyone in program about those same things. So while it's a really close relationship and you have that intimacy because you're sharing your deepest, darkest stuff, when you find a new sponsor, it starts all over again. And we really do group sponsor in this program. You know, the group is my sponsor. I can call any one of you guys and know that you'll pick up and you're going to help me through my food situation. You're going to help me through my life situation. You're going to help me with whatever I got going on. And sometimes you just listen to me because that's what I need, and you guys intuitively know that. So with that, I'm going to pass, and thanks for being there tonight.
Absolutely. Thank you, Debbie. Will all sponsors How and OA please join me in sharing the following. 1, how long in OA and how. 2, how long abstinent in OA and how. And 3, how much weight lost or gained. This is not a time for sharing for sponsors. Please keep it brief and no applauding between sponsors. If they wish to, sponsors can announce that they have an opening for a sponsee and provide their phone numbers. You may line up starting at the microphone and continue around the room to the right. Remote sponsors are invited to share following our line by clicking the raise hand button and turning on your video camera or just turning on your video. When it's your turn to share, you will hear your name and see a you are unmuted by host screen prompt. Following your share, please turn off your video as the meeting moderator remutes your line. Sponsors joining us on the phone, please wait for a pause in the line and press star and 6 on your telephone keypad.
Hi, I'm Howard, a compulsive overeater. I'm a sponsor in the late shift. I've been abstaining a little over 33 years. I have 18 years and 3 months of abstinence in OA How. I've gained 10 pounds and a little bit of sanity.
Hi, I'm Sharon, out of options, compulsive overeater. I've been in OA since 1991. I've been abstinent in How since December 1st, 2001. I'm down about 40 pounds.
Hi, my name is Heidi. I'm a compulsive overeater. I came directly into How in October of 2007. I lost 150 pounds and kept it off for about 7 years. And then I chose to leave the program. I came back 2.5 years later. I have 59 current days of abstinence, or no, July 29th is my current recommitment abstinent date, and I'm down 66 pounds.
Hello, everyone. My name is Nancy D. I'm a compulsive overeater. I first came into the rooms of HOW in October of 2012. I stayed around for about 30 days or so, and then I left the rooms and did not return until June of 2017. I became abstinent June 27th of 2018. I have a recommitment date of March 27th, 2019, and I've been relieved of 82 pounds.
Melanie.
Hi. Hi, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm calling in from Oregon. I was introduced to Overeaters Anonymous in 1989, and I took 17 more years before I found abstinence and HOW. I have an abstinence date of November 5th of 2005. I'm maintaining over 165-pound weight loss. My name is Melanie, and I'm from Oregon. Thank you.
Megan.
Hi, all. This is Megan in Virginia. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm an OA House sponsor. I came into OA in summer of 2006. I found OA HOW in late January, early February of 2009. And my back-to-back abstinence date today is June 8th, 2015. I've given away 90 pounds in this program twice and had an abstinent pregnancy, and I'm grateful to be here with you all tonight. I pass.
Georgia.
Hi. I'm Georgia. I'm in Madison, Wisconsin. I started OA HOW in 2005 and had 8 years of back-to-back and then had a relapse. My current recommitment date is July 26th of last year. I'm maintaining a 75-pound weight loss, and I am a 2-hour OA HOW sponsor. Georgia from Madison, Wisconsin. Thank you.
Elizabeth.
Hi, everybody. I'm Elizabeth S. I'm a compulsive eater in Minneapolis, and I have been in the program since 2004. I have a little bit over 3.5 years of back-to-back abstinence, and just for today, my weight is in God's hands, and I do have an opening for a sponsee, and I'll give my phone number. It's 612-382-7290, and it's Elizabeth S.
Debbie.
Hi, my name is Debbie, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I came to OA in February of 2005, started working the HOW concept in October of 2006. My current abstinence date is October 12th, 2018, and I am down a little over 100 pounds, and I pass.
Tamara.
Hello, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater. I came into traditional OA on January 2nd of 2016. I heard about the HOW program and became abstinent on April 3rd of 2017. By the grace of God and the miracles of this program, I've been relieved of 97 pounds from my top weight, with over 75 pounds lost in the HOW program. And I pass. Thank you.
Lisa.
Hi, this is Lisa J. I'm a compulsive overeater and a 2-hour HOW format sponsor. And I first went to OA in the 1970s and went in and out. I found HOW in the fall in October of 2015. And my current recommitted abstinence is March 25th of 2017. And I'm maintaining a weight that is somewhere north of 75 pounds from my highest known weight. Thank you, I'll pass.
Kelly.
Hi, this is Kelly from Southern California, and I came to OA in 2013, and Howe in, October of 2018. My back-to-back abstinence date is February 27th, 2019. I came to Howe at my goal weight, but I've been able to maintain it thanks to Howe, maintaining a 70-pound weight loss. Kelly in Southern California, and I don't have any openings. Thanks, pass.
Is there anyone else that's on the phone that would like to say something? Shall I continue? Alrighty, thank you. Clay feet. We should remember that all OAs have clay feet. We should not set members upon a pedestal and mark her or him out as a perfect OA. It is not fair to the person to be singled out in this fashion, and if the person is wise, she or he will not wish it. If the person we single out as an ideal OA has a fall, we are in danger of falling too. Without exception, we are all only one bite away from a binge. No matter how long you've been in OA or how, nobody is entirely safe. OA itself should be our ideal, not any particular member of it. Anonymity.
Hi, I'm Heidi, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Heidi.
Anonymity, thank you. Anonymity is a tool as well as a tradition because it guarantees that we will place principles before personalities. It offers each of us freedom of expression and protection against gossip. Anonymity assures us that only we as individual OA members have the right to make our membership known within our community. Anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication means that we will never allow our faces or last names to OA members. Within the fellowship, anonymity means that whatever we share with another OA member will be held in respect and confidence. What we hear at meetings should remain there. It should be understood, however, that anonymity must not be used to limit our effectiveness within the fellowship. It is not a break of anonymity to give our names and addresses to the secretary of our group or to other service offices of OA for the purpose of conducting OA business, which is primarily 12-step work. It is likewise not a break of anonymity to enlist 12-step help for group members in trouble, provided we are careful to omit specific personal information. If their disease has reactivated and we persist in protecting their anonymity, we may in effect help kill them and their anonymity. A program that allows each of us to stand in front of our fellows and share for the first time honestly who we are, where we have been and where we hope to go without fear that our story will be told outside these rooms. For many of us, the OA rooms are the first place where we have no fear of being judged or criticized. We are accepted as we are at that moment. This is the first time for most of us that we experience sharing where we are not told what we did wrong. We came into OA at rock bottom, mangled emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We are supported back to help with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. We are encouraged to speak of our pain, and we are lovingly told your secrets are saved. Come share our recovery, recovery on a threefold level, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Lastly, a word to newcomers, please join us. However, if you decide that our program is not for you, please remember that our anonymity allows us to grow and recover from a very serious disease. What you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here.
Here, here.
Here, here. So one of the things that we do in HOW that's different from some other meetings that I've been to is we don't share who our sponsors or our sponsees are. And for me, that is a way for me to be completely open and honest with other fellows without fear of talking about somebody else's friend, or I don't even say my sponsee or my sponsor. I just say whatever. If I have an issue with a friend, we're not a small group, but we are a small group. So I like that we can share some of the principles we hear from somebody or that I heard on a hookup call, but I don't need to say who it was. Who it was doesn't give validity to it. It's what was said that is helpful or not. The other thing about anonymity is, for me personally, when I left this program after 7 years, and I was gone for 2.5 years, and I returned, and I had gained almost all my weight back. And I remember at first being a little put out, because when I talked to people, I was kind of embarrassed to call people, but most people didn't even know that I had left the room. I was a little put out that they hadn't called or they hadn't whatever, but then it dawned on me that anonymity worked as far as nobody's talking about me. I just thought everybody would know and everybody's talking about me. And I found actually just the opposite, which was quite refreshing. And it was kind of, it was on me that I didn't reach out to anybody and share what was going on. Even when people reached out to me, if I didn't answer the phone or call back, et cetera. So I do appreciate that my story is mine to share and yours is yours to share. And we kind of stick to our own sides. Not kind of. I'm using that word a lot tonight. I don't mean it at all. We stick to our own side. On page 113 of one of our books, Voices of Recovery, it says, "How can I share things I've never shared before? I've never told anyone that. Those were my thoughts when I first learned about the steps and the tools of this program. Anonymity answered my questions. It assured me that my sponsor or an OA friend would not repeat what I shared. I could trust, because trust is inherent in anonymity. When sharing my deep, dark secrets, I experienced relief. I also experienced trust in another person and found that he or she trusted me as well. Because my sponsor shared some of her experiences, I knew that I was not alone or unique. She had to trust anonymity and trust me to share with me." And it goes on to say a few other things, but I know my time is up here. So I just so much value anonymity in this program, and it does keep me coming back, and I hope you do too. Thank you.
Right on. Thank you. Bye. Thank you, Heidi. Telephone calls?
Hi, all. This is Megan. I'm in Virginia, an OA House sponsor, and this is telephone.
Hi, Megan.
Compulsive overeating is a disease of isolation. The telephone is a means of communicating with another compulsive overeater between meetings. It provides an immediate outlet for those hard-to-handle highs and lows we all experience. The telephone is also a daily link to our sponsors, and as a part of the surrender process, is a tool by which we learn to ask for help, reach out, and extend that same help to others. In HOW, we are asked to make at least 4 phone calls a day, 1 to our sponsor and 3 more to other OA members. These calls can give us an opportunity to talk program on a daily basis. The telephone is our lifeline. Sorry about that, guys. It's been a long day. Again, this is Megan in Virginia. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I'm grateful for the tool of telephone that it's a requirement. I was in traditional OA for a while before coming into HOW. And I did occasionally use the phone. I would call, I had a sponsor for a while. I would call her a couple times a week, maybe. I did reach out to some other OA people at times, but it was not a daily part of my life. And it certainly wasn't something I reached for automatically when I really started to struggle. And today, even if I'm having a hard day that I feel like isolating, And that still happens. There are days I just want to go back to bed and pull the cover up over, you know, covers up over my head and be done. Eventually I will pick up that phone and I will let people know what's going on with me and how I'm doing and what's going, you know, why I'm struggling. And I get all of the support and, you know, just listening, if that's all I need. Sometimes folks will ask if they can give feedback, which I'm usually open to. And the thing that that does is that allows somebody else to hear what's going on and reflect it back to me. And what that's helpful for me is I can often hear the disease speaking in somebody else, but I don't hear it when it's rattling around in my own head. And so I get clarity when I hear it out loud and then it's reflected back to me, and I can more easily hear the diseased thinking. And it holds me accountable. You know, somebody will call me back the next day and say, hey, how you doing today? I know it was a rough day yesterday, you know? And I need that. I need that to stay abstinent. So I'm grateful for the tool of the telephone. I'm grateful that I can be of service to others. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Megan. Meetings.
Hi, everybody. It's Elizabeth S. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hey, Elizabeth.
Welcome. Meetings. Meetings are gatherings of two or more compulsive eaters who come together to share their experience before and after recovery and to share the strength and hope OA has given them. Meetings are an opportunity for us to identify and confirm our common problems by relating to one another and sharing the gifts we receive through this program. We find that being on time for meetings enhances our recovery and provides service to the meeting. Though there are many kinds of meetings, fellowship is the basis of them all. As HOW members, we attend at least one HOW meeting a week. And I picked this tool tonight because I've just been reflecting on what an awesome place meetings have had in my life the past many years. And I have a 12-year-old daughter, and some folks have met her before. And when I was pregnant, I was in program before I was pregnant with her. And then after she was born, I started going to the Tuesday morning meeting here in Minneapolis that opened when I was pregnant, and they had childcare there. And we still drive by there because it's near our house and the church that it's held at. And she's like, that's where our meeting was. It was just like this awesome part of my week, and I so appreciate that meeting doing service when I was a single mom of a tiny little person. And now this is my home meeting, and I have a disability that causes me a lot of pain sometimes, and it really has helped me, just the service of folks making this meeting happen, to be able to not have to sit in a metal folding chair for 2 hours, but to have all my pillows. And it really makes a difference for me seeing you all's faces. And I'm just so grateful. And one of the things I really appreciate about this program is just like the way that the tools all work together. And for me, it's very much how this reading talks about, you know, that this is an opportunity for us to identify and confirm our common problems. And that's what I got through meetings, and I continue to get. It doesn't mean that I always agree or can relate to everything everybody says, but I can really always find like pieces that speak to me. And just even through ups and downs of life and life changes, these meetings will be here. Even on the holidays, even just all the time, these HOW meetings are here. And I can access this meeting from anywhere in the world. And I love that. And I'm so grateful. So thank you all so much. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Literature and writing.
Hello, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Tamara.
Thank you. Literature. We study the textbook Alcoholics Anonymous, referred to as the Big Book, and the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, another AA book to reinforce our program. By substituting the words food and compulsive eating for the words alcohol and alcoholism, we can identify closely. We also read OA literature, the OA book, Overeaters Anonymous, referred to as the Brown Book, the OA 12 Steps and 12 Traditions for today, for daily meditation, and Lifeline, our journal of recovery. Read on a daily basis, our literature impresses on us certain basic truths that we found vital to our growth. Our literature and the AA books are an ever-available tool that gives insight into our problem as well as the strength to deal with it and the very real hope that there is a solution for us. Writing. In addition to our writing, to writing our inventory and the list of people we have harmed, most of us have found that writing has been an indispensable tool for working the steps. Further putting our thoughts and feelings down on paper or describing a troubling incident help us to better understand our actions and reactions in a way that's often not revealed to us by simply thinking and talking about them. In the past, compulsive eating was our most common reaction to life. When we put our difficulties down on paper, it becomes easier to see situations more clearly and perhaps better discern any necessary action. I know before program, I had a lot of reaction to life. It was a lot of impulsive behavior. It wasn't much thought or planning on my part. My mouth often spoke before I even realized I was speaking. But I found through literature that there's just a huge amount of information that I have to learn. It seems that no matter when I need a boost, I can pick up a piece of literature and read it, and it always kind of adds to my toolbox of skills with dealing with life. It does give me the strength I need to take on the daily challenges. Writing as well gives me kind of a sounding board for my thoughts instead of having them go around in my head crazy and uncontrollable. I'm able to get rid of them on paper and do some later reflecting on it and whatnot. I'd like to read from the book just for today. It's on page 243. Only by being willing to give up the safety of our old can I find what the new has in store for me. Uncertainty, confusion, and fear of leaving the safety of my old ways behind are natural, but the need to save my life pushes me on. I move beyond my fears and prejudice and learn that I don't have to act on them, but one day at a time I can face whatever must be faced. The direction my higher power gives me is forward, and I'm not afraid to take it. And want to recommend to get some of the daily readers and have them handy, and you'll be amazed at what wisdom they can bring you when you need it the most. So thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Tamara. Service?
Hi, my name is Melanie. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm calling in from Wilsonville, Oregon. Tool of service.
Hi,
Melanie. Hi. Carrying the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers is a basic purpose of our fellowship and therefore the most fundamental form of service. Any service, no matter how small, that will help reach a fellow sufferer adds to the quality of our own recovery. Putting away chairs, making coffee, talking to newcomers, doing whatever needs to be done in a group or for OA as a whole are ways in which we give back what we have so generously been given. Do what you can when you can. A life of sane and happy usefulness is what we are promised as a result of working the 12 steps. Service fulfills that promise. Always to extend the hand and the heart of OA to all who share my compulsion. For this, I am responsible. Service, here we are today. You know, I was thinking about this and wanted to find a piece out of the literature to share about, but I wasn't able to find what just kind of hit me in the heart about how powerful this tool is. It's kind of a culmination, isn't it, of all the tools? You know, weighing and measuring my food, teaching somebody else, you know, getting to meetings, keeping my mouth buttoned when I want to talk about somebody else, all of those things culminate in service. And when I came into these rooms, I was taught on a very elementary level about all of these things. And I was in such a state in my mind. We started slow with basic services as they describe in this particular piece here. You know, just gosh, Melon, just come and see about taking a handout at the door for somebody that's not a sponsor and read that. And I found out just how far reversed I was in myself when somebody gave me something simple as a paragraph to read. And I was shaking in my boots and wasn't sure I was going to get through it. And certainly I choked up and cried. That was the first thing. And the other one was the pride bit about I'm going to stutter and stammer and somebody's going to see me a fool and I got to go home and put a paper bag over my head and never come back. But, you know, slowly but surely you come up out of these places of shame and regret and remorse of the degradation of what this disease does. And my sponsor helped me to build on that every single day. And the fellowship and the phone calls poured into my life so that I could step up again a little bit more and a little bit more. And then I got the service of bringing the tea, and it was such a delightful thing to be trusted with something simple as that. And then it moves over into what step 12 is. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, that my twisted thinking, I had not had to pick up a bite over anything for I don't know how long, I was able to do something more. You know, I was able to maybe lead a meeting such as happening today. You know, thank goodness they had it all written out beautifully so I could lean on that. And then pretty soon I got to do some things outside of that. You know, I got to be a part of, you know, Saturday marathon and be a sponsor and all these delightful things that were happening to me as it developed my life and enriched my life. I knew the responsibility that I had. I had to give this to somebody else because a wreck like me almost missed this deal. And I got to pay it forward with sponsees and in meetings and making sure that there was something there when somebody came to the door and came knocking because they were too nervous to say and read a paragraph and didn't think they'd make it through. We clean up pretty good and service brought that about for me, shine me up, buffed me up and pushed me out there to do what it was that I get to do. And I have so much more that I do today. So much more that I get to do today. A wreck like me, last house on the block, service was it. Thanks so much, everyone.
Thanks, Melanie.
Will all people doing service for OA at any level please stand and applaud service? So if you have not added your information to the chat for our We Care book, please take a moment to do so now so we can add it to the book here in the room. We will keep the We Care book circulating until everyone has had an opportunity to sign it. The folder will continue to circulate for the duration of the meeting so that everyone may take names and phone numbers for their personal contacts. Enter your email in the chat to receive the list. If there is anyone who has not yet signed, the Minnesota OA How Live meeting is a friendly place and we want to get to know each other. If you are here with us today for the first time in the meeting room, will you please stand and introduce yourself by first name only?
My name is Gary.
Hi. If you're attending for the first time virtually, please click the raise hand icon, turn on your camera, or press star and 6 on your telephone keyboard.
Keypad, sorry.
Anyone virtually for the first time? Alrighty, may we please have a treasurer's report?
Hi, I'm Heidi, a compulsive overeater, and the treasurer for this meeting.
Hi, Heidi.
Hi there. We are still currently at $753.34. No change from last week. I have a deposit to make, and rent is paid.
All righty. Thank you. Let me just quickly get some money. Our seventh tradition helps this meeting provide the equipment, enhance our website, make it accessible to individuals who are deaf or anyone using ASL, refine the technology, develop other live OA face-to-face groups, and more. A basket will be passed for those here in the rooms, and those joining virtually may go to menhowlive.org to donate. Okay. Thank you. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurities will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises?
We think not.
They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. And that's from the big book pages 83 through 84. Are there any announcements here in the room or virtually? Alrighty. Literature and books, newcomers, and sponsors materials are located at the virtual intergroups resource page at www.oahowphonemeetings.com. You can purchase OA books and pamphlets at bookstores.oa.org. It is now time for medallions. At Howe meetings, we recognize the milestones of recovery for those working the Howe program. All other OA abstinence is given a round of applause. Anyone joining us virtually may also request a medallion by turning on your camera, raising your hand, sending a chat message, or unmuting your phone. All righty. So everyone, the leader does the medallion, and that's me. So, again, like I said, we'd like to celebrate and just recognize this wonderful program of recovery. Is there anyone here that is, and I'm just going to go down the line, we'll start with 8 years. Anyone celebrating 7 years? 6 years? 5 years? 4 years, 3 years, or two? Anyone 18 months? 1 year? What about 9 months? Anyone 9 months? Anyone 6 months? And I agree, yes. 3 months? Anyone 2 months?
Hi, this is Liz A. in Florida.
All right.
I'm celebrating Liz. 6 months. Celebrating 60 days.
All righty, wonderful. Thank you, Liz. Wonderful.
Thanks.
And we will get a medallion out to you if you like. And we also have in the room, Heidi. Yay! Hi. Woo, you're welcome. Okay, perfect. Okay, it looks like.
Liz, can I send you a twin medallion?
I've got one.
Okay,
right from on. My face-to-face meeting.
Perfect. Thanks. Thank you, Liz. Thank you.
Congrats, Heidi.
Thank you very much. Absolutely. Right on. Wonderful. Do we have anyone celebrating 1 month, 30 days? Anyone? And that brings us to the final medallion, which is certainly last but not least. It's the 24-hour, and I've heard it referred to as the chip of desire, but a 24-hour medallion just indicating perhaps you've heard something here with like a boost in your program. Again, 24-hour medallion is available to anyone, and it does come with a hug. So anyone, if you'd like, anyone in the room can get a hug. That's right. So, but no takers. Well, all right then. Thank you so very much. All right. Any virtual? Anyone virtually?
I would love one. Thanks.
Woo! Yay! All right, Janelle. Woo! Okay. Janelle, make sure we have your information and we'll make certain that you get this, okay? In here.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Good things for you, ma'am. Anyone else virtually or in the room? Anyone else? All righty, right on. Okay. Anyone else? And I agree. Woohoo, Janelle. Yes. And they are free. Right on. Okay. Well, thank you so very much. That's that. So, next. Is there anyone else? Okay. All right, so next, step ups. At this point in our meeting, we ask the group to join us as we celebrate another example of the miracles that about in OA. Thank you, this reads about, I appreciate that, but it is a bounds. Thank you, I appreciate that. In OA, the stepping up portion of the meeting asks a sponsor to introduce a newcomer who has at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence, who has completed the first three steps of the program and who is now ready to become a sponsor. At HOWL meetings, new sponsors are presented with a cactus plant to signify the tough love of the program. Stick with the stickers, remember to drink the water, and a reminder that we don't water down the program. Are there any step-ups? Not tonight. All righty. What about anniversaries? Any anniversary. So birthdays are celebrated for each year of continuous abstinence. At anniversaries, a candle is lit at the beginning of the meeting. We invite the person who is celebrating an anniversary to come to the front of the room for the anniversary reading. Are there any anniversaries? Not tonight either. All right. Well, virtual attendees may sign up to celebrate your step-ups or anniversaries via the link on our website. The leader now qualifies for 10 minutes, and that would be me. So again, I'm Nancy D, and compulsive overeater. I'm so glad to be here tonight. I'm thankful for an opportunity to be of service. So tonight, just a couple... Thank you so much. Thank you very much. So I wrote some quick notes, some things that wanted to mention tonight. And like I said before, I believe the last time I spoke, I was saying that one of my character defects was that just taking for the sake of taking. So I'm not going to use all the 10 minutes, but I do want to say that a couple of things that struck me this evening, first of all, was the fact that when we were doing the sponsor line, and I talked about the actual time in the rooms. And tonight it was the first time that I told the actual time that I've been in the room. And I know this because I was doing service around my home. And as I was going through papers for shredding and just, again, service around my home, I looked and I saw that I had a food plan, a meal. I mean, meals that I had been committing for, like I said, up to about 30 days. I know I didn't stay long. And I remember I was in the rooms and I just really wasn't ready to surrender. In fact, I didn't surrender. I remained in my feelings for some time. I just, I was very touchy and was not only touchy, but I was extremely sensitive and offended. And just by these people that were so great, but nobody's gonna take my phone call. I'm like, what's going on with that? But that was definitely me. And again, I left the rooms and I didn't realize the amount of time that had passed until, again, like I said, I had been saying that I first came into the rooms in June of 2017, but turns out it was 5 years prior to that. And I was like, wow, what happened? But I'm so glad that I came back. And when I came back, you all were here. I seen some of the familiar faces and I was like, they do stay. So I was very excited about that. That and then also this evening, someone mentioned about the power of the tools. And as was read, that a tool, it only is useful if you use it. And I did not use that, but now that I have been using the tools, I too can attest to the fact that these are some pretty powerful tools that are no longer at my feet where they were lovingly placed, but they're in my hands and they're being used daily. And I'm thankful for that. Someone mentioned about, and I say this and I smile about just referring to people as someone, Anonymities was read tonight, and we talked about how this is the first time for many of us we're in the rooms where we're not being criticized or told what we did wrong, or just that, again, it is an opportunity just for me to be me and that I'm okay being me and, again, being of service. But someone mentioned the going forward. And I've been doing my eighth step, and in the letters that I've been writing, I've been remembering just the power of, okay, I've, in true amends, which is the eighth step, that I knew that I did something wrong, and just the willingness to make amends where I hadn't before, but I'm thankful that that's not the case now, for willingness and just going forward, living a life of integrity. And also in the readings tonight, we heard that none of us we're not saints, and I'm not a saint, but I have a program and a plan, and that's more than I have for many years. And I'm so thankful for being able to work this plan because it does work, this program of recovery. And then someone else also, one last thing, they mentioned that many of the things in my life, haven't changed, but me. Many of the circumstances are still occurring. People are just being people, doing the best that they can. And I'm thankful for some tools and new ways of dealing with how I interact, just dealing with people, with life as a whole or in general. And I'm so thankful for that. I did want to mention one last thing, that just my life in recovery, I'm in recovery and I'm excited about it. And I'm thankful for, again, just being able to see, one that I stuck around until a miracle happened and it's yet occurring. And I'm looking for more miracles. I'm thankful for the ones that I have experienced, but I'm looking for miracles tonight, you all. So, and not only that, but just in my life. And I'm thankful again for an opportunity to be of service and glad to be here. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Nancy. Thank you.
So I would like to introduce our speaker who qualifies for 20 minutes.
compulsive signed up.
So Melanie is our guest speaker, and she qualifies. Unless someone else has signed up. I thought I did, thank you. But I was saying, Melanie, I've seen her there, and Melanie looks like she's on deck and ready, but Melanie would be the person that's the speaker unless someone else has signed up. Has someone else signed up? And if so, you are qualified for 20 minutes. Melanie, why don't you go? Melanie, can you hear me?
I can.
And are you ready?
I am.
Wonderful. Alrighty.
All those ducks in an order. Hi, what an opportunity. Thank you so much. Thanks, Nancy, for your share as well. It's lovely to be able to hear the miracles that abound in this particular room. This is where I found my life after 50 years of not having a life, and it was pretty grim. It looked pretty bad. I can't even talk about it yet today that I don't get emotional about it, because it should not have happened to me. It shouldn't have happened to me. It just shouldn't have. And I want to give you just a little bit of background. As I qualified as a sponsor, I came into these rooms in the fall of, well, I came into the room in the fall of 1989 into OA, and I spent a bit of time there did what it was recommended that I do. You know, went to the meetings and listened to the folks and went late and left early. You know, all those things that you learn sometimes when you first go into rooms and they also shared, which is, I thought, was so delightful and generous of them. You know, you can just take what you want and leave the rest. You know, and so I did that. I was very dutiful and did that too. And 17 years later, I was sicker than when I came in, all at my own hand, for sure. And I had not had any periods of real recovery or at all and abstinence. And I was done. I was absolutely done. I had thrown in the towel. I didn't even want to hear about OA again. It had somehow not worked for Melanie. I was so clouded in my thinking. Of course, I couldn't see what it was. And I was about almost 300 pounds. And I'll see if I can show you a picture without any glare. I have one here. 300 pounds when I came into these rooms. And I weighed that in the scale last week. And I was 112.4 pounds. And that's perfect for my height and weight. My nutritionist thinks it's fantastic. And so does my doctor. And I'm grateful for that part of it. But that's not, that's why I came. But that's not why I stay. I stay here because the twisted thinking, the degradation, the demoralization has been turned around. And we've cleaned up pretty doggone good in here. The twisted thinking I call mental illness. I've been restored to sanity step two. And at 50 years old, when I came in here, I had tried numerous things to be able to address that part of it, and to the tune of having a length of my arm, diagnosis of whatever you could find in the DMS-5, which is a diagnostic manual for folks that are seeking therapy in that particular department, and a fistful of medication, of pharmaceuticals to support that sort of thing that didn't seem to be working. So we kind of tweaked it around and moved it around a bit to see if we can find a different elixir that would help old Melanie come up out of this deal. It wasn't working. And I got a phone call one night from my brother. And we had such hope and promise for him that he was going to be able to pull it around. My hubby and I had been raising his children for a number of years at that particular point. We were empty nested and took them on at age 15 months and 4 years. And we had such hope for my brother. And and things looked like they were doing okay. And he called me one night and said, "Will you come and bail me out of jail?" And I just broke. You know, I'd hit other bottoms before, but I absolutely just broke. 300 pounds. Wasn't pretty. I wasn't bathing very often. And the difference between my nighttime outfit and my daytime outfit was my slovenly, filthy sweatpants with a scarf on it. And I looked at myself and I looked all around me and I looked at these kids and I thought, I can't do this anymore. And I don't have the guts to do anything else about what I'm doing. And of course, as whatever powers out there would have, they suggested that I take on OA with a vengeance and go back. And, you know, I wasn't hardly leaving my house at the time anymore. I'd become agoraphobic. And if you all don't know what that is, it's the fear of leaving your house. Fear of whatever. It's a variety of things. My disease had gotten so small. The mental illness so small and so sick. I couldn't pound down enough food and I couldn't leave my home anymore. And I didn't know how I was going to get there. But there was a local meeting I went to and I started that in September of 2005. And I swore that I'd do everything I could do. And see, I'm also an introvert and agoraphobic. Not a good combination if you're going to leave your house. And I went to this meeting faithfully, and there a flyer came across the table one day, and I swore that I'd get there. It was a marathon that was 3.5 hours away. And I swore that I would get there. And I didn't know how. But I wasn't leaving my house so much, but that hour to go to the meeting and come right back home. And I made a phone call, got a hold of the organizer of that meeting. And they got on the phone and stayed with me on their cell phone while I drove all the way up there, 3.5 hours. You know, I talked about service and talked me through it, getting there. And, you know, I can't even talk about it. You know, people just add so much to my life. What I have today, I want you to be all clear. What I have today was not on any merit of my own. I cannot do what was given to me on my own in no way, shape, or form. Absolutely no way, shape, or form. Even today, 14 years later, I know exactly where my place is, where I need to be, what service I need to be doing, and to what extent until I'm exhausted for a person like me. Just for a person like me. Got to that meeting, a huge room of people. It was a Saturday marathon. I didn't even know what I was getting into. I didn't know what a Saturday marathon was. And it turns out that they had called for all sponsors, how and OA. To stand up, please. I didn't know what how was. Stand up and qualify. And formed the sponsor line of about 85 people around the room. And there were about 4, 5, 6 of us that were left sitting down in the audience. And pretty obvious that this deal was working for the majority of people. And I was jaw-dropping, aghast at what I was hearing from people there. And I just had to have this thing. I had to have this thing. I was 50 years old, people, 300 pounds. If I was going to reclaim the rest of whatever I had left to live, and I didn't know if it was going to last very long at that particular point, you know, the way the mind twists and turns and things like that. And I like to exaggerate this part, but it felt like it. You know, the last person in the last part of the room before they switched the light, I finally said, it's now or never. Find somebody to help you, Melon, now or never. And I asked them for their phone number, and I asked if I could call them. And oh, probably 2 or 3 weeks later, I finally got the guts to call, and the rest is what they call history. And the interesting thing about this, it was Olympia, Washington, ladies and gentlemen, talking about how. And the way they found how is that there was a person that was a representative of how from Minnesota that went to a business conference in New Mexico, that met with a fellow in Olympia, Washington, that learned about Minnesota how, we lovingly refer to that, no offense meant, but there was a structure there that was brought to Minnesota from somebody from Maryland that brought it to New Mexico, that brought it to Olympia, Washington, that brought videos from Minnesota to Olympia, Washington, that brought it to a scallywag like me. That was 3.5 hours away in a little harbor town on the beach. and I can live again. I can live again. Let me see if I can show this picture at all. I'll see if I can do this. This is what 300 pounds looks like. Let's see if I can do that. Can you see that at all? Is there any kind of a glare? That's what 300 pounds looks like on a 5'5" woman. If I can get, there's kind of a glare, isn't there? You can see this when the circles on my eyes of depression go down to my jawline because of the darkness and the despair. This is a disease. It doesn't care. It's absolutely serious and it's hell-bent on getting me. And it doesn't care. It's mind over matter. It doesn't mind, and I sure as hell don't matter to this disease. And it was taking me out one day at a time. I was gorging so much. I called myself a binge grazer because I was eating all the time and I'd gorge and binge if the highs got too high and the lows got too low and I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't caring for my kids. I wasn't doing anything, I tell you. I had these two little kids at home. And they go to school at 7:30 in the morning, get home at 4:30 in the afternoon. I'd eat all day long. Eat all day long and not bathe and not get out of my bed. And they'd come home and I'd go to my room. I wasn't fixing meals for them. I wasn't doing anything. That's how small my world had gotten. It was a torturous thing, absolutely a torturous thing, but I want to talk about the hope. That's what I want to spend this last few minutes on, is talking about the hope. These folks in Olympia, Washington, I get there as often as I could. It was hard coming up out of that shell of leaving that home. That pathology is a tough, tough, tough one to come up out of. And those folks helped me a lot. And I got there as often as I could. And they taught me everything that they knew about how to get out of this deal. And I found a way for the first time to be able to say yes. And that wasn't easy either. I got somebody on the phone. That sponsor was from Canada. And she says to me, this is what you need to do. This is how we do things here. And I had already designed a food plan for myself. I was all set in that department. I didn't need a food plan. It's all set. And she said, well, you know, we do it a little differently here. So, you know, I suggest that you maybe just take mine and then maybe get a hold of this nutritionist, you know, and kind of work through these things. And she was meticulous with me. Beautiful, wonderful soul. And I started crying. I said, I don't think I can. And she said, well, you have to. You have to if you want any hope to get out of this. And so I hung up on her. I hung up on her. And she had been so lovely to me. And you know, that's what fear and degradation will do for you. And I went to my bedroom and sat next to my bed on the floor. And I just bawled, you know, that shoulder heaving kind of bawl, you know, the tears and the snot coming out of your nose. And I just bawled and I said, I can't even be an accepted member of Overeaters Anonymous. I screwed that thing up. And now I'm angry. You're kicking me out. I'm angry. You're kicking me out of this deal because I can't follow this food plan that you have. And I started dialing, and I didn't even notice that I was. I was just dialing. And then somebody on the other end said, hello. And I thought, oh, my God, I dialed the phone. And I shared with her, bawling, what I'd just gone through, that this horrible experience with this horrible woman. And she said, you know, it sounds like it kind of got a thing going here. Why don't we just start where you are? And I bawled out of just gratitude, out of just somebody. You know, I've always wanted somebody to rescue me. I just bawled out of that. You know, she was just going to let me go with where I was at. Well, she was very wise. She said, we're going to meet you where you are. And she kind of moved around to the same thing that the woman before had said. And I ended up doing it. And there was just a little window of place for me to do. And so I started weighing, measuring food. And my family, bless their hearts, didn't want to come in within 900 feet of where I was at. Because I was throwing pots and pans and I was flinging food and I was on the floor on my back on the phone and I was crying because I didn't know if that doggone grain of rice that had flipped off of my plate was weighed and measured or not. And I was sure as hell wasn't going to call anybody to ask for help. It was an interesting thing to be one day in the life of Melanie. Had you been a fly on the wall, bless your hearts, I'm sure you would have cried. And I think you would have laughed. And I think you would have cried and I think you would have laughed. You know, I called myself a feral cat fighting my way out of a wet paper bag, because and the fight was with myself. And it had to be. It had to be just like that. It had to be just like that for me to get through that insanity to the sanity that I have today. And then fate would have it, just a few months later, my husband had an opportunity to work with a client in a couple of different states, either Colorado or Minnesota. And I had been in touch with by then all of you all by phone in Minnesota. And so I had this ability to have a friendship there. And I said, we got to go to Minnesota. I got to go to Minnesota. And I saw for the first time again the depth and the weight of recovery in the rooms. There was a HAL meeting every single day of the week within driving distance of where we were going to live when we came into Minnesota. Is it odd or is it God? And I saw how to get a life together. I saw how to come up out of the shell. I learned how to talk without stuttering and stammering. And now I don't know if I told you this yet. Even on the phone, my sponsor had to script with me a line so that when I got their answering machine, that was before cell phones and voicemail, when I got the answering machine, I could say that because I was hanging up every time I got an answering machine. And then when somebody would answer live, I was hanging up because I didn't know what to say and I was embarrassed. And I got to in these rooms, teach me how to be a human being in these rooms, to be a human being. And it was my teaching ground, my place to be. I got to read from there and I got to stutter and stammer. I remember one time I got to do the 10-minute share or something like that. I can't remember. Maybe it was a 20-minute one. I can't remember. Anyway, I had it all prepared, had everything written out, had my pictures up there. Because that's what you do. When somebody asks you to do service, you say yes. And I got all ready to do this sort of thing. And I got to learn how to go completely blank in my mind because my nerves are so bad. I went completely, and I've been around for a while, completely blank. I couldn't remember what I was going to say. I looked at my people in front of me and they gave me the nod. You're okay. Keep going. You're okay. I couldn't go anymore. And I just said, with tears, I was bawling. I said, can I just sit down? I can't think anymore. I got to do that. And then I got to return the next Wednesday night. And I didn't leave. And I didn't pick up. Because of the fellowship of HAL, because of the steps that worked on my mind, that I got a psychic change. And I had a personality change and a transformation. And he didn't laugh at me. He didn't laugh at me. And he let me fight through this thing. And I can't tell you today, I'm involved in a pretty good sized meeting outside of my home group here, another big, pretty good sized meeting. And I get to be a chair of a convention and I get to show up every day there. And I get to find suffering people. I got to work with 10 people over the last couple of days, 10 people, help them identify entire abstinence because they called. And their lives were turned around because my life was turned around and I have something to give. I have a story to tell of true transformation. And it shouldn't have happened for a girl like me. It just shouldn't have happened for a girl like me because of where I'd gone to, how low that I had to stoop. I couldn't lower my standards quick enough to be able to accept the shenanigans that I was up to. It's just only my sponsor knows with the fifth step that I told her what exactly it was that I was into and it was up to. HAL keeps me straight. HAL keeps me grounded. It's not for everybody, but it's for people like me that have tried everything else. And we're very clear about that. It's for people that have tried everything else. There's going to be some things that are going to be asked of me to do that maybe I'm not going to get anyplace else. But to have the kind of recovery that I have today, the clarity that I have today, the story to tell that I get to share with my sponsees every day, and life experience on the other side, because this disease shows up when I'm sober. This disease kicks my behind when I'm sober. And how to show up for days because I look at the world through a different pair of glasses. I'm building a paralleled life to that which is concreted in me, which is I'm an addict through and through. I get to build a paralleled life. So that when I look at the sky and I tell you, doggone it, it's brown, but the whole entire world says it's blue, I can adapt to that I can adapt to that with acceptance and gratitude and call it blue. When somebody says to me that you're a little bit off kilter here and that we didn't mean for it to sound like that, you're hearing it wrong, I can adapt to that and say you're right. You are right, and get my head around it and accept it. I can come on a meeting and today do whatever I need to do, stutter or stammer, because I'm not very far from that young woman that came in here at 50. I'm 63 now, 64 almost. And still stutter and stammer, not know what to say, and draw a blank and leave the room and come back in on Wednesday. I'm not too far away from that because I'm a slow learner, an absolute slow learner of the educational variety. I think that the best thing that ever happened to me, that I was put in a room of people that loved me so much that I didn't find any place else in this world, and that a woman with such strength and devotion that I'm under her wing even today, brought this deal to Minnesota 17, 18 years ago, that I still get to be under her wing today and be of service to her today in her particular grief that she's going through today. And I can be present and show up and do things because I say I'm going to do it and follow through because I'm going to do it because of what you taught me here in how. Inhale, the fundamentals of bringing tea, the fundamentals of weighing and measuring my food, the fundamentals of making sure that rice was weighed and measured. It means that much to me. And with that, thank you so much for letting me do this tonight. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Melanie. Thank you. Alrighty. So the floor is now open for 3-minute pitches or sharing. Inhale. Meetings, we share our experience, strength, and hope. No one is prohibited from sharing, but we ask that you focus on the solution. All pitches should be of a positive nature in which you share your growth and recovery. All other issues can be worked out over the phone or after the meeting. Would someone care to pitch? You may turn on your camera and speaker, raise your hand, send a chat, or unmute via your phone. Would anyone care to pitch? Actually, we have time for one pitch. Well, all right. Actually, we no longer have time for that. So thank you so very much. I want to thank you all for allowing me to be your leader for this meeting today. I also thank all those who participated, especially our speaker, Melanie, and who offered so much of herself. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. May we please meeting of just for today.
There, Lindy, recovering compulsive overeater.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi, y'all. All right, just for today. Just for today, I will try to live through this day only and not tackle my whole life problem at once. I can do something for one day that would appall me if I felt I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Just for today, I will be happy. This assumes to be true what Abraham Lincoln said, that most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be. Just for today, I will adjust myself to what is and not try to adjust everything to my own desires. I will take my luck as it comes and fit myself to it. Just for today, I will try to strengthen my mind. I will study. I will learn something useful. I will not be a mental loafer. I will read something that requires effort, thought, and concentration. Just for today, I will exercise my soul in 3 ways. I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. If anyone knows of it, it will not count. I will do at least 2 things I don't want to do just for exercise. I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can. dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody except myself. Just for today, I will have a program. I may not follow it exactly, but I will have it. I will save myself from two pests, hurry and indecision. Just for today, I will have a quiet half hour all by myself and relax. During this half hour, sometime, I will try to get a better perspective of my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. Especially, I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe that as I give to the world, so the world will give to me. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Lynn. Thank you, Lynn. For those joining us in person, I would like to ask for your help in putting away the equipment and bringing this room back to its original setup after we have concluded our closing prayer. Thank you for your help with this. We would also like to thank our skilled interpreters for helping us to reach even more people who struggle with this disease. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. So, closing statement. To those who are still new to the program, we remind you that all that was said here today should safely remain here, as we respect and cherish our tradition of anonymity. We also assure you that following the program, we'll get your weight off or on. Abstinence will remove the cravings. Our way of life will remove compulsion in time and give you contentment in all areas of life. After a moment of meditation, will those who wish to, please join me to say the Serenity Prayer. Those attending virtually, please unmute yourselves. Let's pray for those who are still suffering. Right on. After a moment of silence, can you start us with our leadership prayer?
I accept the things I cannot change.
Courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I will be done.
Amen. Coming back.
It works if you work it. Work it. You work it.
Thanks, everyone. Good night.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
Bye, Emily. Yes. Yeah.
Bye.
And I was going to say, I apologize for being so.
Yes.
Thank you, Melanie.
Yep. Thanks, Melanie. Good job, Liz.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Tamara.
Congrats, all of you. Yeah, absolutely.
And congrats to Janelle.
Not sooner.
Yes. Nice. Thanks, Melanie.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Blessings. Yes. See you soon.
See you next time. Yes. Good night.
Take care.
Good night.
Bye, Bridget.